You want to go and take your Bibles with me and turn them to 1 Peter chapter 4 this morning. 1 Peter chapter 4. Something that is often said is that when something suddenly happens or something comes and surprises someone, oftentimes you see their true colors because it's an instantaneous reaction. And of course, that means it. Obviously when something happens and one is not prepared, that they're not thinking through it and how should I react? How should I do this? It's a knee-jerk reaction. And the thing about surprises is when one is caught off guard, it can be difficult to process that environment in that moment. And one's response can say a lot about that person. Well, this morning, as we touch on the topic of trials in the life of the believer or difficulties or hardships, we'll see that first off, should not be a surprise to us when we go through them, and what our response should be as well. And to give you a little bit of background, the book of 1 Peter is written to believers, and one of its main focuses that is seen throughout the book of 1 Peter is encouragement to believers who are going through difficulties and how they ought to live in spite of trials and persecution in their life. And so this morning, if you're there with me in 1 Peter chapter 4, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 12. It says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." Let's go and begin with a word of prayer before we dive into this text this morning. Father, I thank you for the abundance availability that we have this morning, Father, to your word and to be able to possess it and read it. And Lord, I pray that you be with us as we go before and allow our hearts to be open to be good hearers of your word and doers and seeking how we might apply it to our life. And be with me and give me the word to speak, Lord, as well. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. As I mentioned in my introduction, as something comes or happens in your life, a lot of times we look at the response. How do they respond? Well, in this section of verses that we just read, we see what a believer's reaction should be to trials and hardships. And Peter, in talking about this passage, describes different ways that we should be responding to the trials and hardships and sufferings that we face as believers. And so we see our response, first off, is to not be surprised. And I think we see this in, not think, but we see this in verse number 12 right off the bat, as it said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you. Think it not strange," or do not be surprised by these fiery trials. Peter here is telling the readers to not be surprised because trials will come. And this is what Peter is telling. This is something God does not hide from us whatsoever. And you might hear that some people have the idea that believers, you know, if you're faithfully serving God, that you'll never face hardships. God's word's very clear that believers who follow after him face hardships, they face trials, they face persecution and difficulties. I've said this a few times, and I think it's such a great phrase, and I can't even remember who I heard it from, but we as believers are either in a trial or we're in between two currently. Those are the two current places for us as believers until the Lord returns or until he calls us home. Scripture is clear that we go through these fiery trials. And even in this passage, we again are told that they are coming. And so don't be surprised. And the fact that we know that they are coming means that we might be prepared for them. Not that when they come, that's when we say, oh, I need to start reading up on Scripture. I need to start preparing myself. No, I can tell you this morning, as God's words tells us, that trials, hardships, and difficulties will come upon the life of a believer. And you have the opportunity now to prepare. If we know something is coming, we can prepare for it. And now, yes, we don't know the exact details of what that trial might be, you know, in, say, a couple months, maybe next week. We don't know the exact details. But we know that we should be probably, you know, strong and have a good footing in God's word. To be walking with him in fellowship and in prayer, in that we are growing as believers, that we are firmly planted in him and his word. That way, when trials and difficulties come, we are prepared. What I heard this said one time, that someone had said that going through trials and every time one goes through a trial and thinking that must be the last one, that mentality will eventually crush you. Because you're just looking, saying, oh, eventually they'll be done. And eventually, when you build on that belief that, you know, this will be over and then the rest of my life will be easy, well, then when difficulties and trials come next, it starts to crush you. God's word's clear that trials, hardships, and struggles will come, and we shall not be surprised, and that we should be prepared. That way, when trials do come, our reaction is one that is founded in God and his word and in obedience to him. Many of you have met my brother. You know, he was here back in December for Christmas time or early January. And he's not a very big guy. Many of you might have saw him. He's quite a bit shorter than me. But one thing my brother did do is he wrestled in high school throughout middle school and high school. And he was a wrestler and doing all those takedown moves. And you also might not know this, but my mom, who's here today, used to love to try to scare us, and she still does. She would be the one that would be around the corner and pop out saying, boo. I was at college when this happened, but it was a really funny phone call. My brother, who was in high school at the time, a wrestler, thought he was home alone. He wasn't. And my mom popped out and tried to scare him, and he picked her up and slammed her on the floor. Or the couch. I don't remember which one. The floor sounds more effective, though. And what happened? My brother wasn't expecting that. It was an instinct to him. And I don't know my brother 100% on what his attitude would be, but I would like to think that if he knew my mom was there, that he wouldn't have picked her up and thrown her down. If he knew that that was around the corner, his reaction would have been different. His actions would have been different because he wouldn't have been surprised. And the same relates to us as believers. We ought to be prepared, not just going through and saying, yeah, you know, life's okay right now. I'm just going to, you know, live this way and it will be okay. Life's good. Scripture tells us don't be surprised. Trials are coming. Difficulties are coming. Be prepared. And can I tell you, if you are living in a way and making sure you're founded in God's truth, that you are seeking after him and living a life in obedience, that when those trials come, as Ephesians chapter 4 tells us, that you would no longer be tossed to and fro by the wind, but be firmly planted. And again, we don't know exactly what situations will come about, but we know how we can prepare for them. And it's by making sure that we are living a life that is grounded in God and his word. Making sure that we're living a life that's in obedience. And to be able to prepare for that, well, obviously, one must be in God's word. One must be seeking his truth and growing and making active changes and making sure that we are growing in our life as believers spiritually. That we continue to seek his truth, that we continue to live for him, and that even that we are wearing the armor of God that we see throughout Scripture and making sure that we are equipped. And we see that these trials that Peter talks about also, he has talked about it a couple times back in chapter 1 and verse number 7. He talks about this, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Christ. And also in our text as well, that when trials and these difficulties and hardships come, that if we go through them faithfully and we go through them in obedience to God, founded in his word, we are able to glorify God in those things. And that we are able to grow as well. And so as we look at these trials, we need to look at them in our life in knowing that they will come. And in the meantime, we ought to be preparing. We ought to be in God's word. We ought to be in prayer. We ought to be seeking how we might grow. We ought to be in church. We ought to be with one another in fellowship, and so on and so on, and so that we are prepared. And that we're not surprised. But when they come, we can turn to the Lord and say, Lord, help me through this. I'm ready to go through this with you. Not only do we see in this text that we are not to be surprised, but secondly, we see as well that we are to rejoice in this suffering or trials or hardships. In verse number 13, but it says, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. And you look at that and you say, man, rejoice in trials, rejoice in hardships. That's kind of hard to do. And suffering is tough. Trials are tough. They can be weighty. They're not always easy. Sometimes there's things in our life that can bring us down very quickly. But God's word tells us that we as believers, not only are we not to be surprised, but we are to rejoice in these trials and hardships that we go through. And we see a couple of reasons why we rejoice, why a believer can rejoice among these difficulties and trials. First off, we see that we can rejoice because we are partakers with Christ in suffering. In verse 13, as it says, as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering. And you read that and you think about that, and honestly, what a true privilege it is to be able to suffer with Christ, our Savior, our God. And that we are partakers in his suffering. We as Christians go through suffering as Christ did, and we follow his example. And this suffering is brought on, as we see the connection in verse number 14, relating to even this suffering in relation to a believer's allegiance with Christ Jesus. As it says in verse 14, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. We see here that verse 14 talks about one who is persecuted or insulted because of our faith in Jesus Christ, which happens. That we become persecuted or maybe mocked or maybe other difficulties along those ways come. But even when they come, that we are to rejoice because we have the ability to be a partaker with Christ in suffering. For our Savior who died for us. And we see even from the apostles, this was their heart as well, that they counted this as a great privilege. We see in Acts chapter 5, their hearts to being able to suffer. In Acts chapter 5, in verse number 41, as it says, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. That they counted it a great privilege, that they were rejoicing because they said, we are worthy to suffer shame for the name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Do we have that attitude? That when we go through different forms of persecution and hardships, maybe we're mocked, maybe we're judged, do we have the attitude that is, oh man, what a great thing it is that I am able to go through this for my Savior's sake, that they see my life as a believer, and I'm counted worthy to even be a partaker in that suffering, a partaker in that shame as the apostles had gone through. And some people might say that it's crazy to have the idea that we have rejoicing during hard times like that and rejoicing during being mocked or persecuted or going through difficulties for our salvation in Jesus Christ. And they might call us crazy, but I would say that the world might call us crazy that we are able to rejoice in this fact because they don't know our Savior like we do. There's a lot of times I have had interactions with those who have served in the military. I used to go around and you see the baseball hat veteran. I used to go up to them and I used to strike up a conversation and I used to say, thank you for your service. And a response I almost always got is, a lot of times they would be, not even wanting the attention or wanting the thanks. And they'd say, it was my honor to do it. And even the looking at the example of soldiers in our military, and there's some that have different reasons, but there's many who serve their country in the military, and they count it a great honor that they have that ability to do so, to fight for that cause, to defend their country. They count it as an honor. Now, we as believers, do we have that same mentality? That as we go and we spread God's word, we serve him faithfully, you know, in how he calls us to do so. Do we say, man, what an honor it is to be able to serve God? Even when it brings difficulties, even when it brings us out of our comfort zone in how we serve God, and maybe it brings some difficulties with that and how he's called us to serve him. Do we go through and we say, man, what an honor, what a privilege it is that we are able to serve our Savior Jesus Christ, that we are able to be a partaker in his suffering? Or do we have the prideful mentality that says, man, I don't want to go through that. Man, this really stinks. This isn't what I want at all. And that is a prideful mentality. As we look at ourselves, we see what we are losing or what difficulties we are going through, and we say, that's not what I want. That I want different. I don't want hardships. I don't want difficulties. And that is a wrong and prideful response and focus. We are to have a focus after our God. We are to have a focus after our Savior, Jesus Christ, and how we live our life. Not my will, but your will, Lord. And to serve him faithfully in how he calls us to do, even among trials, even among difficulties, even among persecution. And to have that right perspective, in having a focus on God, that it brings us to rejoice that we can even go through these difficulties for Christ's sake. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 talks about the great difficulties that those who go and share the gospel and go through, and he lists a couple hardships and forms of persecution that one faces. And he says a couple times after that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 of his reason why the press forward, and is, he says, for Christ's sake, for our Savior's sake. And so do we rejoice as we are partakers in Christ's suffering, that we are even worthy to suffer for his name's sake, to be able to suffer for the sake of God? And what an honor and privilege it is that we are able to do so, which should result in our rejoicing. And this rejoicing that we see in this passage is also in the present form. This rejoicing through these sufferings and difficulties is not to look back years later and rejoice over the fact that we were partakers in Christ's suffering. It's not having that idea. Because, man, how much easier is that to look back 5, 10 years ago and say, I can rejoice that we went through that. You know, even difficult, you know, in difficulty, sometimes we can laugh at situations as time passes. But that's not what Peter's talking about here. He's not saying in the great future you can look back at this and rejoice. This rejoicing that we see here in these verses is used in the present form of the word, meaning that we can rejoice in the present, and that we can rejoice as well in the present and looking towards our future as well when his glory is revealed. And we will have an overwhelming amount of joy and happiness at that time as well. And these types of happiness Peter mentions has the idea that this rejoicing, this form of happiness, is a great joy. This world looks at life without suffering as that's what is good. That the least conflicts we can go through, the littlest things I have to overcome, that's a good life. But we as believers have a different perspective. The trial of our faith today, as we go through this and we go through difficulties, we can look at it and say, we go through this and we are able to grow. We are able to go through them and look at them as something that is good, that God allows in our life that we might grow in Him. We saw that already in 1 Peter chapter 1. We can go to James chapter 1 and see that too. And other passages as well, that scripture tells us it's a good thing that we are able to grow, that we might rejoice in that. But then also, in building off that, that we are able to rejoice, that we are able to have this joy, that we are able to be counted, this is a privilege of an honor, that we are able to be partakers in Christ's suffering. And we see in verse number 14, as it says, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. We also see going off that we can also rejoice that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, resteth upon us. In being mocked for siding with Christ or going through difficulties, Peter tells us that we should be glad. And another reason why we can be glad, another reason why we can rejoice, is because the Spirit rests upon us. It rests upon you if you are a believer in Jesus Christ. And this is referring to the Holy Spirit, and we should be happy in the fact that the Holy Spirit dwells in us, that as we go through these difficulties, as we go through hardships and persecution, that we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us every day. And the Spirit gives us strength as we seek to serve God and renews us so that we might be preserved. Romans 8:26 tells us that the Spirit helps us when we are weak. Gives us strength. 2 Timothy 1 tells us that the Spirit helps us in power and love and in discipline as well. And the Spirit also helps us as we study God's word and helps us in our daily life and in guiding and in so many different ways. But we might also rejoice in these times that God is with us day by day as we go through these difficulties, as we go through trials, as we go through persecution. And not look at these as something that is so horrible or something that is so bad or something that is so non-wanting in our life, but having the perspective to say that this is, this is able to be used for good as we are able to grow as believers, that we are able to serve God and even count it a privilege that we are able to suffer with Christ. And to rejoice as we go through these tough times, as we go through these difficulties, that we have the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. And as we seek to serve God, as we seek His word, the Spirit helps us to do so, even among great difficulties. And so we see through these couple verses that we've gone over are one's response to trials and suffering. But I also want to touch on, lastly as well, our actions, as verse number 15 talks about it. In verse number 15, it says, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's business. Peter here lists four different things: murderer, thief, evildoer, and a busybody. which if you're not familiar with that last one, it can has a meaning of troublesome meddler. This is someone who is actively busy involving themselves in things that is not their business to be involved in. Peter commands that we do not suffer in wrongdoings. Peter was not just isolating these four things, but rather he uses these four things to get his points across. That not all suffering is acceptable. And as we are still here on this earth, and we still as believers have our fleshly sin nature, and as we still fall and we still sin, we are to make sure that in our life as we go through suffering, that we are suffering because of our obedience in Christ, that we are suffering as we faithfully serve God, not because of sin or wrongdoing in our life. And he wanted to make clear that suffering from wrongdoing did not bring the joy or blessing of God that he spoke about earlier. It would be easy to take the suffering that one goes through and, you know, maybe it is accounted towards sin and just chalk it off. Well, I'm suffering for Christ. That's all the reason. Sin can bring suffering too. Sin can bring consequences too. What would happen if I went out and maybe I found a cop and I punched him in the face? I'd probably have a little bit of suffering. I'd probably have some suffering in jail from that. Now, can I then say, I'm in prison and I'm suffering for the Lord's sake as I'm in here? No, it's sin that brought me into that. That shouldn't be something that I glory in. That should be something that I should be shameful of, that I acted in that way. These things that people are drawn to, we see that we should not have pride or count it, you know, a great joy to be suffering for the sake of sin. It's only for the sake of Christ that one can rejoice in one's suffering. In verse number 16, we see, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. That ties into verse number 15, that we, as it says, that we shouldn't be ashamed if we act like a Christian. But the things that he lists in verse number 15 in looking at one's sinfulness, that's not something that we should not be ashamed of, as it is sin, it is against God. It is rebellion, it is disobedience. And so we see that those things don't bring glory. Sin does not bring glory. Sin does not bring righteousness. It is only through Jesus Christ and living for him and through him that we might glorify God. This word Christian that's in verse number 16 is not used many times in Scripture at all. This was first used, if you don't know the history of the word Christian, throughout history, the word Christian has a meaning that it was originally called to mock one. I don't know if you knew that the word Christian, as it was developed, was used to be a mock towards those who believed in Jesus Christ. And the literal meaning of this mockery is that people that were following Christ and so much were being mocked as called as another version of Christ or a little Christ. And I know they meant it as a great insult at the time when they came up with that, but you know, what a thing to rejoice in. That as you're living your life, they're mocking you with saying, you're living like your Savior. Well, thank you. That's what I was going for. And as we live for God, as we live in following after Christ, our Savior, and we do so in obedience, that is something that we can do that brings glory to God. That, as we do so, as we follow Christ, that we can rejoice in. Let us not rejoice in the sin that we do and the sufferings that come upon it, but let us rejoice for our lives as we live for God and live according to His word. Allow us to rejoice in the fact that we are able to live our lives as a believer and to go through difficulties as God allows in our life, because it brings glory to God. That we are able to glorify God in what we do. But in order for us to do that, in order for us to glorify God, in order for us to be able to rejoice, we must walk in obedience to God in how we live, including how we live in trials, how we live in sufferings, how we live in hardships, how we live in persecutions. And again, going back to verse number 12, believers here this morning, be not surprised. Think it not strange when trials come. But I encourage you to prepare. That when trials or persecution or hardships find you, and they come, and they will, that you are firmly planted in God and His word. That you're not tossed to and fro, but you're firmly planted. And as you do so and go through these trials and go through persecutions and go through hardships, that you're able to do so in obedience to God and living for Him, and that you might rejoice in that suffering that you go through. Is suffering hard? Of course it is. But this is what God has called us to do. And can I tell you, if God has called you to serve Him in a way, even if it brings difficulties, that He will give you the strength to go through those difficulties. And that we might have joy among them. But I greatly encourage you, don't wait until tough times come. Don't wait until difficulties come. Don't wait until persecution comes upon your life to say, okay, now I need to start reading my Bible. I need to start, you know, going to the Lord. No, start now. Be firmly planted for when those trials come. And if you are walking with God and you are in His word and you're applying it and you are praying with Him and growing as a believer, I encourage you to continue and to not stop. God's word has made it clear that difficulties, trials, sufferings, and persecution will come upon believers. And so take the opportunity, as God has told us that, to prepare yourselves and make sure that you are ready for whatever God calls you to. And as you do so, have the perspective of counting it joy for what trials bring in growing, in helping us grow as believers, and also being able to count it us worthy to suffer for Christ. Let's go and close in a word of prayer. Father, I thank You once again for this morning. Father, I don't know the lives and the difficulties that every single person in this room faces, Lord, or is even facing right now today. But Lord, I know that Your word tells us that we go through difficulties and hardships. Father, I pray that we are having the desire and living for You Lord, allow us to be prepared for when we go through hardships and trials, that we might be firmly planted in you and your word, Lord. Allow us this morning, for anyone who is not here, who is not in your word, Lord, who is not seeking to grow in you, that they see the need to, first off, to live in obedience to you, God, but second, that they might continue to live in obedience. They might continue to live for you. And Father, for those who are walking in you and are in your word and in growing, Lord, I pray that you, Father, give them strength. Father, I pray that you give them encouragement from this morning, that they might continue walking in with you, Lord. And I pray that you be with us day by day, Lord, as this is something that we deal with in our life as believers until you return or until you call us home. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.